Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Invisible Spy by Thomas Mayer is a narrative history that explores a little-known front in the early Second World War, when the United States was still officially neutral, but already a battleground for information, influence, and covert maneuvering. Centered on Rockefeller Center in New York, the book follows the creation and operation of a British intelligence outpost designed to shape public opinion, monitor threats, and counter hostile propaganda in America. Mayer connects this spy ring to Winston Churchill's urgent need to bring the United States closer to the Allied cause and to blunt the reach of Axis sympathizers and disinformation networks. Along the way, the story highlights the emergence of an American figure positioned as an early secret agent in this shadow war, offering a window into how modern intelligence partnerships and public diplomacy began taking form. Blending political context with spycraft, the book aims to show how clandestine work in Manhattan helped set the stage for deeper U.S. involvement in the war. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Rockefeller Center as an intelligence hub in neutral America. A core topic is how an iconic commercial complex could double as a strategic platform for covert work. The book frames Rockefeller Center not just as a symbol of modern New York, but as a practical base for British intelligence operations aimed at gathering information and managing influence while the United States remained formally outside the conflict. This setting matters because it suggests how espionage often thrives in plain sight, using the everyday rhythms of business, media, and social networks as cover. The narrative emphasizes the advantages of operating in Manhattan: access to journalists, publishers, financiers, immigrants with ties abroad, and shipping or travel knowledge that could be useful for assessing threats. It also underlines the legal and political constraints of the moment, when overt Allied intelligence activity risked backlash in an America divided between interventionists and isolationists. By focusing on a recognizable location, the book makes the point that early wartime intelligence was not limited to battlefronts or distant capitals. It was also urban, networked, and dependent on relationships, credibility, and the ability to blend into influential circles without triggering public controversy or governmental crackdown. Secondly, Churchill's strategic need for American alignment. Another major theme is the pressure on Britain and on Churchill personally to pull the United States toward active support. The book presents this as an urgent strategic problem rather than a simple diplomatic preference. Britain needed material aid, coordinated security, and a shift in American public sentiment, yet it had to pursue these goals carefully to avoid appearing to manipulate U.S. politics. The spy ring is depicted as part of a broader campaign that included information gathering, relationship building, and targeted efforts to counter narratives favorable to the Axis. The story helps readers understand that intelligence work can be designed to influence the environment in which policy decisions are made, not merely to steal secrets. By emphasizing timing and context, the book highlights how the early war years were filled with uncertainty, including debates over neutrality laws, fears of foreign entanglement, and competing voices in the press. Within that friction, Churchill's allies looked for ways to make the dangers of the Axis clear to American elites and the public. The topic ultimately shows how strategic communication, political judgment, and clandestine activity could intersect to create momentum toward partnership. Thirdly, the making of an early American secret agent. The book also spotlights the emergence of an American figure characterized as a first secret agent of the U.S. in the Second World War era, illustrating how personal biography and historical circumstance can converge into an intelligence role. Rather than treating espionage as a profession with fixed pathways, this topic underscores how early wartime clandestine work often relied on individuals with unusual access, social agility, and a willingness to operate in ambiguous spaces. The narrative suggests that an American operative could serve as a bridge between British objectives and American realities, translating priorities across cultures while navigating suspicion, politics, and legal constraints. This focus invites readers to consider what intelligence leadership looked like before mature agencies and standardized training pipelines became dominant. It also raises questions about identity and loyalty in a time when a nation's official posture did not always match the private convictions of individuals who believed the Axis threat demanded. Action. By tracking how such an operative could be recruited, positioned, and protected, the book explores the personal costs of secrecy, the moral complexity of influence operations, and the improvisational nature of early intelligence tradecraft in a democratic society wary of covert manipulation. Fourthly, countering propaganda, disinformation, and domestic extremes. A fourth important topic is the information war inside the United States, including the challenge of propaganda and the presence of groups or networks sympathetic to Axis aims. The book portrays the spy ring as a tool for mapping influence, tracking narratives, and disrupting efforts that could weaken support for the Allies. This theme matters because it connects espionage to media ecosystems, showing that intelligence victories can involve shaping what people believe, whom they trust, and how they interpret events overseas. The narrative highlights the difficulty of responding to hostile messaging in a society that values free speech and open debate, where heavy-handed interventions can backfire. It also explores how propaganda can be embedded in respectable platforms, social organizations, or seemingly apolitical channels, making detection and response more complicated than simply identifying enemy agents. In this environment, influence work becomes a mixture of fact-finding, coalition-building, and selective exposure of damaging connections. The topic invites reflection on how wartime messaging campaigns can blur lines between public relations and national security. It also shows that the struggle for American opinion was not merely rhetorical, but tied to concrete outcomes like aid policy, recruitment, industrial mobilization, and the willingness to accept risk in confronting aggressors. Lastly, from improvised networks to modern intelligence partnerships, the final major topic is how these Rockefeller Center operations foreshadowed the institutional intelligence relationships that later defined Allied cooperation. The book treats the spy ring as an early case study in building operational trust, sharing leads, and aligning objectives between Britain and Americans who are not yet fully committed as a government. This helps explain how intelligence partnerships can start informally through personal ties and shared urgency, then evolve into more durable systems once political conditions change. The narrative also conveys the practical challenges of cross-border clandestine work, such as managing sources, protecting identities, and keeping activities deniable amid press scrutiny and partisan politics. By focusing on process rather than only outcomes, the book shows how intelligence is often a craft of coordination, connecting bits of information, assessing credibility, deciding what to act on, and communicating across bureaucratic and national divides. Readers can see how early successes and mistakes informed later approaches to counter-espionage, strategic communications, and interagency collaboration. This topic ultimately positions the story as an origin point for understanding how the United States moved from ad hoc clandestine efforts toward the larger intelligence architecture that emerged during and after the war. In conclusion, this book suits readers who enjoy narrative history, espionage stories grounded in real politics, and World War II accounts that focus on the home front and the battle for public opinion. It is especially valuable for those curious about how the United States shifted from neutrality toward deeper involvement, and how intelligence work can operate through media, social networks, and elite institutions rather than only through battlefield reconnaissance. The book can benefit a reader's life by sharpening awareness of how influence campaigns work, how information can be weaponized, and why democratic societies face unique dilemmas when responding to covert persuasion. It also offers a useful perspective on the origins of modern intelligence collaboration, showing that trust and capability are built through relationships, trial, and strategic necessity. Compared with similar WWWW spy books that concentrate on Europe or on later, more formal intelligence agencies, The Invisible Spy stands out for its New York setting and its emphasis on a transitional moment before America fully mobilized. That angle makes it feel fresh even for well-read WWWA enthusiasts, because it connects familiar global events to an unexpected local stage. If you want a story that blends clandestine operations, political stakes, and the shaping of American opinion, this is a compelling and distinctive purchase. If you would like to support Thomas Mayer, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.